very, very gentle with horses and tender.
Did you ever have the same fondness for trucks that you did for the horses? Because you've driven a lot of trucks in your life, too.
Oh, trucks, yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I joined the army, I drove horses. I'd done horses, and I'm truck driver.
You ended up driving for the army, didn't you?
Did for the army, yeah. So when the war started, when they looked at my papers, you've drove trucks, haven't you? I said, yes, I drove fire trucks there. Well, of course, said, had a trucker said, let me see what you can do in the truck. So I took him around the block, that's behind the absolute. And when I got to the depot to go over to France, there was a brand new big truck there I had to take over. Well, I met this with Joe, but they kept me taking trucks over all over France there. For wartime, yeah.
So you missed a lot of the battles that way,
oh,
too?
Oh, yeah, I missed a lot of battles. I could hear the guns there. I got pretty close, and you heard of Etaps.
Mm-hmm.
Etaps, well, there's a little bridge there at Etaps, and right across the street is the cathedral there. And one night I was looking over this little bridge and I was talking to a Frenchman there, and a plane came over, he dropped a bomb right on the church and the cathedral there, and went up in smoke there and in front of my eyes there. Yeah. So I thought that was rotten stuff there. Yeah. Oh God, it's all kinds of. Yeah, I was driving the truck one day, and it was getting near 6 o'clock in the summertime, but it was getting kind of hazy. And a long block away, I could see an old cart stopped there, and two men were fighting. So I come up there, and I said, what's the matter? He says, look at my arm, and he slashed way down the arm with a knife there. And so I picked him up and put him in the back of the truck, and I was carrying him in the back of the truck. The blood was running down my sleeve. Yeah. I don't want to ever fight him right there, but they're Senegalese troops. Yeah. They couldn't talk English, you know. I couldn't talk Senegalese. Yeah. They did know a little bit of it, French. Yeah.
Did you learn much French when you were there?
Oh, I just picked up what it was necessary to get by with me. Yeah.
Were you on your own a lot driving the trucks?
Mm-hmm.
Were you on your own?
Yeah, I always had a spare driver with you, yeah. Yeah. In case anything happened there to you, there wasn't a spare driver to take over. Oh, how beautiful.
How did you find out the war was over?
Well, even when the war was over, we got word that there was going to be a truce. Yeah, there was going to be a truce. But we didn't know when the truce would be, whether it'd be in the morning or at night there. So it was one afternoon at 3 o'clock there. The war will be end at 6 o'clock p.m. tonight there. So there I was in camp there and a big cheer went up like that there. But there, I've got to think after I've been through some funny places there. It's very hard to remember what you've been through and everything else like that there. Unless something turns up there but reminds you But I have been out across the continent of France, out without a word of an Irish, 7 times. Yeah. Not altogether. There, I had two leaves, and that took me there from France to Ireland and back again. Yeah. And then there was the actual fighting part. So here I am, an old man with whiskers.
Did you have any reservations about coming back to Canada? Did you want to go back to Canada?
I wanted to come back to Canada.
You didn't want to go back to Ireland?
No, I didn't want to Ireland.
You had your job at the fire department still?
Mm-hmm. I come back, I left the fire department and I went back to the fire department. The job was open. The very first day I was there, it said your job's open. So I was driving, when I come back, I was at Dunedin Street Tower. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love Canada. No, I wouldn't go back to Ireland to live, not unless in the countryside or away from the cities. For there's always that feeling, always will be that feeling between the two classes, Protestants and Catholics. They don't like one another. So it's not the reason why we've got to do or die. Into the Valley of Death rode the 600 and 700 Irish. We charge them right, we charge them left, we charge them 10 cents for 5 cent beer. Into the Valley of Death rode the 600 and 700 Irish. But I'm getting my mouth. This whole thing isn't working just the same.
Yeah. When you came back to Victoria, you married?
No, I wasn't married.
You got married when you came back?
When I came back from, still in the fire department. I've been in 40 years in the fire department.
And then you moved to Nanaimo Street? Niagara Street?
Niagara Street, yeah. I fully retired in Niagara Street, yeah. I had that house built for me, yeah.
You were telling me that one of your neighbors was Emily Carr.
Hmm?
You were telling me that one of your neighbors was Emily Carr.
Emily Carr. Well, she wasn't my neighbor, but she lived there a couple of blocks from me. So coming home from work in the mornings there, I ran across Emily Carr. Yeah. She called me her boyfriend. Here's my boyfriend coming. Now she's an old, wonderful old girl, Emily Carr. She was a nice person, you know, but she's very, very eccentric, yeah. Yeah. Some morning you'll see her with a little pup on her shoulder. And no little pup and then all she was walking down the street. And the next day she'd have the cats there. Here's Mr. Farmer, she used to call me Mr. Farmer. My boyfriend. Phil and Emily Carr. I liked her. She was a nice person, Emily was. Yeah.
Did you see much of her paintings?
I never knew she painted. Honest to goodness, until she died there in her notoriety come to earth there when she died. No, she knew, I knew she painted. I knew she painted there. And I couldn't took up cars there for an officer for a pending, just because I knew how many power. Yeah, she had a suggestion, and I said, all right, the lady. But Emily was a nice person, very nice person. So when you're in the job so many years in the district, you walk out the district, you get to know a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Were there other eccentrics that lived in the neighborhood too?
Only myself. No, there were no eccentrics at all, no. No, it's very, very, very nice people, very nice people. Yeah.
So you were back in Victoria for the big snow?
The big snow was 1916. And I was in Victoria West, far home. And at 6 o'clock at night, when I left Judy, I had to go home over the bay, and the snow was up to me here.
To your neck?
All the way over the bay there.
Up to your neck? Judy, yeah. There was no path?
No path. Oh, absolutely no path at all. Not down to the snow let up there, and the people got their paths here, you see. No, in the middle of the road there, the people were walking in the middle of the road. But them all walking on the middle of the road and made a kind of a trench and went right through there. And on the 8th Street, you remember Kent's store? Kent's musical store. Yeah. Well, I remember the snow on it was on the sidewalk there and it was up over my head. Yeah. Oh, it was a terrific snowstorm. We couldn't use the trucks for an alarm come in. We had to with wood when one thing or another slides on the wood there. We made a sort of a truck there and put the hose on it and bobcocks.
Did you have any fire calls?
Not a fire call. Not one fire call, no. Yeah. No. And I was in Victoria West then, and the neighbors were very kindly. They were at meal times, they would come and ask you to come and have a meal with them there. So we couldn't take the rigs out there. The horse couldn't pull the big heavy truck through that snow. So luckily we were very lucky we didn't have any fires at all. No false alarms.